The great thing about reading the Bible, not as a textbook just to gain facts and to know what's in it, but rather as a way for the Holy Spirit to guide us and to teach us, that each and every time we read it, the Holy Spirit is there and showing us more things about who God is, and you know, just learning more about the things of God, is that every time when we come and read it, you know, although it's a passage that we have read it, you know, read it many times, maybe, you know, 10, 20, 50, or even 100 times, and we thought we knew everything about it, but when, because it's the Holy Spirit coming and teach us into all truth, because it's God Himself who's teaching us more truth about His Word, that we can actually gain new insights into the passage that we thought we already knew. And that happened to me this past week, as I was reading through the book of Matthew, and the passage I'm talking about is actually Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. And if you just click, you know, a few weeks back of the passages that I used previously, you can see that actually this is a passage that I used before. Now, let me just read to you Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" This is a passage that highlights many of the things that we have been talking about for the past, you know, 4 or 5 or even more weeks, is that God looks into the heart and not just the outward behavior. You know, and God looks into the heart and not just the religious things that people do. God is more concerned about relationship with Him than with the things that we do for Him. And you know, we have been dealing with this for, you know, for many, many weeks now. And so when I was reading through this part, you know, for my devotions, my personal quiet times, I thought I knew the main gist of this passage. But while I was reading through it, suddenly, you know, just a thought popped into my mind, and I would personally say it's actually the Holy Spirit speaking to me and giving me a new way of looking, or not a new way, but a different way of looking at this passage. Basically, what the thought says, or what God says to me, is that, have you ever stopped and wonder and think about this, that even those who do not have a right relationship with God actually has the ability to cast out demons? You know, the people actually complained to Jesus and said, "Lord, Lord, have we not in your name prophesied? Have we not in your name cast out demons? And even have we not in your name do many wonders in your name?" This is just a recap of Matthew 7, verse 22. And then Jesus will say to them, you know, "Depart from me. You basically, I don't know you." So the Holy Spirit just basically stopped me on my tracks and said, "Have you ever stopped and think that even those who do not have a right relationship with Jesus Christ, with God, can actually have the power or ability to cast out demons?" What this is saying is that, you know, if those non-believers or those people who are doing this with the wrong motives can do so, how much more can Christians, or how much more should Christians, have the ability to overcome demonic attacks? How much more should Christians who have a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who have a right relationship with God, be able to cast out demons? You know, instead of being afraid of demons, instead of being afraid of the demonic realm, Christians actually have the guarantee of overcoming the demonic realm. Christians, because, you know, Jesus is in us, and we'll look at the passage later in 1 John 4, 4, where it says, God who is in us is actually way, way, way stronger than the evil spirit who is outside of, you know, in the world. But that idea is very interesting, because, you know, it's showing that, you know, even those who are in a wrong relationship with God, who are, you know, just doing this based because they think it's the religious thing to do, has the opportunity, some of them could actually even cast out demons. How much more should Christians have that privilege, and how much more does Christians have that privilege? And I know some Christians who are actually afraid or are wary of the demonic realm, but in reality it's actually the reverse. The demonic realm should be afraid of Christians, especially those who are living are walking in the Spirit and who are, you know, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, you know, because we are in right relationship with God, we have, based upon what Jesus did, the ability or the authority to stomp on demons. But of course, if you do not have a right relationship with God, I would not recommend you to actually go and try to do exorcism by yourself. There is a story in the book of Acts where it showed that some people who are not in a right relationship with God trying to cast out demons based upon their formula, and we can see what happens to them. This is actually found in Acts chapter 19. Let me turn to that. Acts chapter 19, verse 13 to 17. Now, these are people who do not have a right relationship with God, and they are trying to cast out demons just based upon a formula that they see other Christians doing. So, Acts chapter 19, verse 13 to 17. Let me just read to you the story. Okay, so basically what happened is that, you know, the church is growing, and, you know, the Apostle Paul, God is doing many miraculous things through him. And let's actually just start from Acts chapter 19, verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Verse 13. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. So this is a story of itinerant, you know, Jewish exorcists who do not have a right relationship with God, who do not, you know, recognize Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they are trying to mimic what Paul did, or what Paul was doing, but instead of, you know, fleeing from, instead of a demon fleeing from the person, he turned around and attacked those people. Why? Because these people, you know, do not have the right relationship and are not in a right relationship with Jesus, and not in a right relationship with God, and therefore they do not have the authority. So if you do not have a right relationship with Jesus, it's a hit or miss thing. You know, sometimes, you know, the demon will leave, as we see in Matthew 7, and sometimes the demon will turn around and just, you know, and attack you or you know, just do bad things to you, as we saw in Acts 19. This is what will happen if it's a person who is just trying to, you know, exorcise a demon based upon their own ability or based upon a formula. However, if we are true Christians, you know, we've been talking about that for the past, you know, probably 2 months, the person actually has the authority and you know, because of what Jesus did for us, to overcome these demons. And the passage I talked about in 1 John 4:4, we will look at that. But right now, let's turn to Colossians 2:15 and see why, or how did we gain that authority. So this is in Colossians 2, verse 15. This is talking about what Jesus did. And it says, "Having disarmed principalities and powers, he, Jesus, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." And this is just part of the passage that's talking about what Jesus did. And it's talking about Jesus disarming the principalities and powers, and he made a public spectacle of them, you know, overcoming them. And what are these principalities and powers? When you read, you know, the New Testament, especially, you know, in the Paul epistles, you can see that the principalities and powers are usually referring to demonic spirits. One clear verse that we can see is actually found in Ephesians 3, 8 to 10, Ephesians 3, 8 to 10, where Paul is writing and he says, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages had been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ." Verse 10, "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places." So these principalities and powers are actually in the heavenly places. It's not, you know, human kingdoms, human kings, or rulers of nations, but instead it's this principalities and powers that are in the heavenly places. And actually, if we read the book of Daniel, we can see that there are certain principalities and powers over certain regions of the nations. And we can see that the Prince of Persia, a spiritual being that is trying to fight against the messenger of God, an angel, and then later on Michael, who is the sort of like the one responsible for the nation of Israel, also an archangel who's coming to support this angel in order that he can go and speak to Daniel. If you are interested in that story, you can actually turn to Daniel chapter 10 and read that whole chapter, and maybe even further on. But it's Daniel chapter 10, and we might be come back and deal with this issue sometime in the future. But basically, principalities and powers, when you read in the New Testament, it's usually referring to demonic realms, and you know, who are living in the heavenly or in the spiritual realm that we can't see with our natural eyes. But the main point is that, you know, because of what Jesus did, that he made a public spectacle of these, that he disarmed the principalities and the powers, according to Colossians, that Jesus has overcome these demonic realms. Jesus has overcome Satan, you know, by what he did on the cross, and later on when he, you know, snatched out the keys from Satan. And as Christians, because, you know, we believe in who Jesus is, and we have recognized that him as our Lord and Savior, that because God sent his Holy Spirit, that God himself, the Spirit of Christ, is living within us, that he who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. This is actually a quote from 1 John 4:4. So let's just turn there and see what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. We will come back to Ephesians, because there's many things about that, that Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians. But 1 John 4:4, this is what it says: "You are of God, little children." Actually, let's just go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, and then read on to verse 4. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." 1 John 4:4. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Basically, what John is saying is that he, capital H, Jesus, or the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, who is in you, is greater than he, small h, you know, meaning Satan and his minions, all the demonic realms, who is in the world. So as Christians, you know, we shouldn't fear the demonic realm. Instead, it's the opposite. It's the demonic realm who should fear God, who is in us, who is living within us. But, you know, this is also a good warning when we break down this passage, and we can see that John, the Apostle John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is warning Christians that, hey, do not believe every spirit. That, because, why? Because the demonic realm, you know, the demonic spirits, they function in lies, and they function in treachery, and they like to trick people into, you know, doing the things that they want them to do. So God, John gives us the way to test the spirits. But we, you know, we should be careful not to believe every, you know, every supernatural thing that happened, or every a spiritual thing that happened, but instead we should test it by verse 2, where it says, "By this we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God." So that's one of the ways that the Bible teaches us how to discern that those who come, the spirit, the angelic spirit that is from God, would recognize Jesus as the Christ, first of all, and that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and basically the whole gospel, that Jesus came to die for our sins on the cross, and he was resurrected on the third day, and he's now returned to God the Father. So this is a way for us to recognize that which spirits are from God and which spirits aren't. And so we should be absent-minded into believing every spirit is of God, or every spirit is of a demonic realm. But no, there are ways of discerning, and we should be careful to do so. I believe one of the ways that the demonic realm has deceived many people in the Western world, especially even among some Christians in the Western world, is that he deceived us into thinking that he doesn't exist. One of Satan's greatest deception is that he tricked even some people in the church into thinking that he's not a real being, that it's not, that there's no demonic realm or there's no spiritual realm. It's just everything is just what we see in the natural, in the scientific realm. Well, that's a very nasty trick that Satan does, because what happens is that people will start fighting against each other, because they think that the bad things that this person is doing to me, or the bad things that happened to me through circumstances is it's all happening to me in the natural, while in reality there's actually a spiritual power behind many of those bad things that happen. In fact, in Ephesians, as I said, we're going back to Ephesians now, chapter 6, this is talking about the armor of God, and it's giving us the reason why we should put on the armor of God. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, where it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Verse 12 is very important, and I think that's what many of us, many of Christians should recognize. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And if you keep on reading, it'll tell you what the armor of God is. But, I just wanted to focus on verse 12, where it says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers." Remember what I said just a while back, that usually principalities and powers are referring to demonic realms, and it's proven in this verse also, where "we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." So when Satan deceived the Western world, especially the world that focuses on science and just the things that we can see in our natural eyes, it caused people to start fighting against one another. It caused people to start complaining against the circumstances in their life, the natural circumstances that in their life that is causing them pain and causing them hardship, while in reality they do not engage into a spiritual warfare that Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 13 tells us to engage into. Because basically what happens is that Satan, because we don't recognize his existence, or we don't even bother to fight against him, that we start fighting against the person that Satan deceived into hurting us, or the person that Satan deceived or used into causing us pain, and we started fighting against that person instead of fighting against the spiritual force, the spiritual darkness behind that is deceiving the person, or that is using that person to hurt us. And when we are fighting against one another, that Satan starts laughing, because basically he's the one who causes all these bad things to happen, And yet Christians are just fighting among themselves, or fighting against the other people, non-Christians, or fighting against, you know, what certain rules and laws that they don't like, or is it in accordance with the Bible? Well, the Bible tells us that, you know, we should be strong in the Lord, and to recognize that there are spiritual forces that are trying to hinder our walk with Jesus Christ. There are spiritual forces that is trying to cause us pain and cause us hardship. And once we recognize that there is a spiritual battle going on, then we can also recognize that based upon what Jesus did, you know, as we read in Colossians, based upon what the Bible says, that we have the authority that we have in Christ, and that we have Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ living in us, that we actually are not fighting a battle that is a losing battle. We are not fighting a battle that we may win or we may lose. Instead, we are fighting a battle that we are guaranteed to win, because, you know, Jesus Christ, or the Spirit who is in us, is greater than the one who is in the world. So if we recognize that there is a spiritual battle going on, that we are not fighting against other human beings, or we are not fighting against the natural circumstances we see with our eyes or with our natural eyes, but instead we are fighting against the spiritual forces that is causing or deceiving other people, or you know, causing certain circumstances to go against us, then, you know, we are ready for the battle. And then number two, we recognize that because we are in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ has already overcome these spiritual darkness, these spiritual forces, that if we fight, if we know there's a battle, and if we start fighting, we are guaranteed that we will win. But if we do not recognize there's a battle, and we do not start fighting, and we don't stand on the authority and the power that Jesus has won for us, then of course, you know, we will just get beat up, because, you know, we aren't fighting back. So as Christians, you know, even non-believers have, you know, sometimes can overcome the spiritual forces, seen in Matthew 7. But as Christians, we are guaranteed that victory. So as Christians, we should not fear the demonic force. Instead, you know, we can confront them, and we have the guarantee from God, because we are in a right relationship with who He is, that we can, you know, stop them. Basically, we can stop their advances and turn around and make them flee from us. You know, in the Bible it says, you know, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So Christians, you know, let's stand up and recognize that because of what Jesus did, we are not fighting Satan based upon our own abilities, because there's no way we can fight him with that. But rather, we are fighting him based upon the fact that we are in a relationship with Jesus, and that God has sent His Holy Spirit within us, and He who is in us is greater than He who is in the world. John 4:4. So let's end this time, let's close this time with prayer. Lord, I thank You for just reminding us, Lord, that You who are in us, the Holy Spirit who is in us, is greater than Satan who is in the world, is greater than the demonic realm. Lord, because we are in You, because we love You, because we obey You, Lord, that, you know, in the Bible it says perfect love casts out fear. Lord, that we are in a love relationship with You, Lord, that there is no fear in us. Lord, we do not fear the demonic realms. We do not fear what Satan is trying to do in this world. We do not fear what he's trying to do in our lives. But instead, Lord, we recognize that there is indeed a spiritual war going on between darkness, between the forces, the principalities, and the powers, and all those hosts of darkness that are trying to attack our lives and trying to attack our situations. But Lord, we stand in the truth, Lord, and we stand in a right relationship with You. And Lord, we are confident in the victory that You have won for us. And Lord, we will walk out that victory in our lives. Lord, thank You for reminding us, Lord, that there is a war, and Lord, that You have already won it for us. Lord, let us be people, Lord, who are continuously seeking to know You more, Lord, to continuously seeking to love You more, and continuously seeking to expand Your kingdom into the kingdom of darkness, to destroy the kingdom of darkness, so that more and more people will come to know You. Thank You, Lord. May Your Spirit come and lead us and teach us and guide us. Lord, may Your Spirit come and confirm that we are children of God, and confirm that in You, and only in You, we have the victory over Satan. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.